Who are the top 25 players in fantasy basketball leagues? Your first few picks can make or break your season. Watch until the end of this video and you too will dominate your competition. While not necessarily a death sentence, nailing your first few picks is incredibly important. That's the point of this video so we can discuss what I think are the top 25 players in the 12-team league. You want to nail those first two picks because those first two picks will really determine the rest of your build. So in order to have a very solid draft, it's important that you start with a strong foundation. Number one on this list should be obvious to anyone that watches this channel or anyone that knows anything about basketball at all. The consensus number one overall pick right now is Nikola Jokic. Don't even think about it. Don't sit there and ponder on it. If you have the number one overall pick, this is the guy you go with. I mean, what's not to love? Averaged almost 25 points per game, almost 12 rebounds per game, almost 10 assists per game from the center position. I don't even know what to say to that. When your center's getting you double-digit assists, is it any question that this guy's the reigning finals MVP? It's not to me. Anyone that watches this channel knows I love me some Jokic. The threes, only 0.8 threes per game, kind of low, but I mean, with everything else the guy is doing, 1.3 steals, getting you 0.7 blocks, that's low for a big man, but again, getting you 9.8 assists to only 3.6 turnovers, shot 63% from the field while getting you 25 points per game. Do you understand the significance of that? Free throw percentage at 82%. Nikola Jokic is the ultimate unicorn, and I always preach grabbing players that do things that aren't traditional. So a big man that can help your free throw percentage, can still get you close to a three per game, and is getting you double-digit assists nearly, that's a guy you build your team around. He's helping your field goal percentage. He's getting you rebounds. He's scoring for you. This guy is the real deal. The next guy I want to discuss is Luka Doncic. So to me, it's not a clear number two, but I'd say just based on his volume production and his upside, the usage he's going to have, the partnership with Kyrie Irving, he's probably safe in that 2-3 range. Averaged almost 33 points per game, 8.6 rebounds, 8 assists per game, almost 3 three-pointers, 1.4 steals, half a block per game, 3.6 turnovers, so decent assist-to-turnover ratio. Very efficient scoring at 49% for a guy getting you almost 3 three-pointers per game. What leaves a lot to be desired is the very low free throw percentage because the guy does draw a lot of free throws. So if he managed to get above 80%, he's the consensus number two player. But there are some holes there, which is why I'm a little conflicted if to go with him or go with this guy. Another guy I've been big on for years, and his value keeps increasing in my mind the closer I get to my actual drafts. Tyrese Halliburton, point guard, shooting guard for the Indiana Pacers, and someone I've been telling you about since his rookie season. He's projected to be in the top three. Last year averaged 20.7 points, 3.7 rebounds, 10.4 assists, 2.9 threes, 1.6 steals, 0.4 blocks, only 2.5 turnovers to 10.4 assists, 49% field goal, 87% free throw. The guy is not hurting you in any categories. And that's why I think, even though he's not going to score the same way as Luka and he's not going to rebound the same way as Luka, you're getting a similar field goal percentage, a similar amount of threes. You're getting more assists from him. You're getting less turnovers. You're getting similar amount of blocks. And you're getting a way better free throw percentage from Tyrese Halliburton. So if you make that trade-off, is Luka Doncic really a better fantasy asset than Tyrese Halliburton? I'm not convinced that he. So Joel Embiid, currently an average pick of 3.2. I have him a little lower than your draft board will probably have him. My concern with Joel Embiid is he's typically injured every season and misses a stretch of time. With leg injuries, he's older now, more minutes on his legs. Typically, you don't get healthier with time. You get less healthy. So to take a top three pick on someone that's that big of an injury liability, which is why I knocked him back a little bit. But when healthy, his production justifies a top 2-3 pick. Last season averaged 33.1 points, 10.2 rebounds, 4.2 assists, one three-pointer made, one steal, 1.7 blocks, 3.4 turnovers, 54% from the field, 85% from the free throw line. So even though he's not getting you as many assists as Jokic, he's getting you more three-pointers made, he's getting you more steals, he's getting you an entire more block per game. The turnovers are really similar. The field goal percentage, while not as good, again, comes with slightly more threes. And you have him shooting even a higher free throw percentage than Nikola Jokic. So when healthy, Joel Embiid is easily the second best big man in the NBA and a guy that you can comfortably draft in the top two if he were less of an injury liability. So as far as skill and ability to produce, he's a top two player. But because of the question marks with his health, I'm knocking him into that four range. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander projected to be in the top six and going at an average pick of about 5.7. So last season averaged almost 32 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 0.9 three-pointers made, 1.6 steals, a block per game, 2.8 turnovers, given that he's getting you 5.5 assists. Shot 51% from the field, over 90% from the free throw line. So a guy getting you a block per game along with over 90% from the free throw line, that by itself is juicy. But then on top of that, you had 1.6 steals per game. That is elite territory. Sure, 0.9 three-pointers made, leaves some to be desired, but he's around the range of Nikola Jokic, and he's getting you more blocks and steals than Nikola Jokic. The turnovers, 2.8, that is not that high for a guy that's getting you almost 32 points per game, getting you almost 6 assists per game. This guy is a stud. The only problem is, similar to Joel Embiid, he's kind of shown himself to be a bit of an injury risk. But with the upside he has, he's still very young, so we may not have seen the best of him yet. It's very possible this is a guy the next season drops 33-34 points per game. If he can keep that efficiency, continue getting me steals and blocks, most potent fantasy asset out right now. Because that steals and blocks potential, along with his elite field goal and free throw percentage, makes him a very alluring target. He had a great season last year. He surprised everyone, and on an Oklahoma City team that's still young and is slated for success, I like his chances to really help your fantasy team. The next guy I have on my rankings is old, reliable. This guy, when healthy, is going to contribute at a very high level. He averaged 29.4 points per game, 6.1 rebounds, 6.3 assists, 4.9 three-pointers made, which is bonkers. Almost 5 three-pointers made per game. If you play 4 games that week, you're getting 20 three-pointers from this guy alone. And he's a unicorn because along with making 5 three-pointers per game, he shoots 49% from the field. That is insane. Anyone that can get you that volume of three-pointers and still help your field goal percentage is a unicorn. Their steals at 0.9, you know, you're going to have to take a hit somewhere. 0.4 blocks, almost half a block per game from my point guard. I will take that. 3.2 turnovers when he's getting you 6.3 assists. Fair trade-off. The 49% from the field, 91% free throw. Elite free throw. This is a guy that's helping you in almost every single category. Now, the problem is with Steph Curry, he has shown himself to also be injury prone. He's getting up there in age, so he may miss large chunks of the season when you need him the most. So that's why he's fallen into the range in which he's fallen. If he were a little younger and his health weren't as much of a question mark, this is a guy that can produce at a top two level. So I'm a little conflicted about my ranking with Steph Curry because I think he may be interchangeable with this next guy I'm going to discuss, which is Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum last season averaged 30.1 points, 8.8 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 3.2 three-pointers made, 1.1 steals, 0.7 blocks, only 2.9 turnovers, shot 46% from the field, 85% from the free throw line. He's still young. He's still in the prime of his career, so we may not have seen his best production yet. That may make him a safer option than someone like Steph Curry. The thing with Steph Curry is those 5 three-pointers made per game, that elite field goal percentage, makes him very alluring. But with Jason Tatum, you're getting that 0.7 blocks. You're still getting decently low turnovers. You're getting slightly less assists, and you're getting more rebounds from him. So if you have Steph Curry or Jason Tatum and you want a safer choice, I might actually rank Jason Tatum slightly ahead of Steph Curry because not only does he have more potential to produce, he's younger, has fresher legs, but I don't think you're going to go wrong with either Steph Curry or Jason Tatum. I think the addition of Jrue Holiday is really going to help that Celtics team, and I think it'll help the production of players like Jaylen Brown as well as Jason Tatum. The next player on my list is Mr. Dame Time, Damian Lillard, now part of my Milwaukee Bucks. Very excited to see what he's able to do for us this season. Last season, he averaged 32.2 points, 4.8 rebounds, 7.3 assists, 4.2 three-pointers made, so he was almost there with Steph. 0.9 steals per game, 0.3 blocks, 3.3 turnovers. I will take that when he got me over 7 assists per game. Field goal percentage of 46%. While it's not Steph Curry range, 46% for a guy getting you over 4 three-pointers made per game. Free throw percentage, 91%, also elite. So with Damian Lillard, you're getting a lot of the same production you get from Steph Curry. He's a little better in some areas. Not as efficient, doesn't get you quite as many steals and blocks, but you're getting a very similar player. And I like the pairing with him and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think they have the opportunity to both produce, to both eat. But I think I'm placing Damian Lillard ahead of Giannis on draft boards. I'm placing Giannis 9th on my list, and I'm pretty close to putting him 10th behind Kevin Durant. But the only reason I'm not going to is because he's less of an injury liability than Kevin Durant. Now, if this were a points league, Giannis is probably a top 5 player. In category leagues, Giannis is very difficult to build around. Players that hurt your turnovers and also your free throw percentage are really hard to build around. All right. In the past, Giannis got you enough steals and blocks that you kind of could take. He's getting you 31 points per game. He's getting you 12 rebounds, almost 6 assists for a center eligible player. That is all great. That is amazing. But in a categories league, let's see where he's hurting. You're getting 0.7 three-pointers made per game. All right. At the end of the week, this guy's barely contributing to your three. 0.8 steals, 0.8 blocks. He's not really helping you there either. That's not even a full one per game for a guy who in the past would get you around 1.5. You're looking at 3.9 turnovers per game. So if he plays 4 games that week, that's almost 16 turnovers you're getting. That's all maybe manageable. But when you have him taking volume free throws and shooting only 64%, that hurts. And the field goal percentage of 55% is very solid when he's getting you 31 points per game, but you've essentially tanked your free throw percentage. If you draft Giannis, you're punting free throw percentage whether you want to recover it or not. Last season, he ended up hurting my team so much that I left him in the IL and I never activated him. I took my chances with him in the IL, and that's when I realized Giannis may no longer be a guy I can rely on in fantasy leagues. A points league, he's going to be amazing for you, but in categories leagues, I just don't see him being all that helpful because the places in where he's hurting you a lot. And when you're talking about your first round pick, you don't want to start with a player that's hurting you in so many different areas. If he fell to the second or third round, sure, then maybe you stomach those risks. But with your very first pick, you're essentially deadlocking yourself to a punt free throw build, and those are really hard to do, especially if someone else in your league is doing a punt free throw build, because then you're targeting the exact same players, and then you'll find yourself going with players that aren't great just to say they fit your build. I find that punt free throw is one of my least favorite punts. It's my first punt I ever did, but as I've matured in fantasy basketball, I've come to realize that I kind of like to protect my free throw percentage, and I find my teams having a lot of success when I do. Kevin Durant, when he plays, contributes in almost every single statistical category. Last season, averaged 29 points per game, 6.7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 three-pointers, 0.7 steals, 1.4 blocks. Love that. 3.3 turnovers, along with 56% from the field, 91% from the free throw line. So, not only is he getting you double-digit threes, not only is he scoring 29 points per game, getting you 5 assists, he's getting you elite field goal and free throw percentage. Elite. When healthy, those are top 5 player statistics. The problem with Kevin Durant, he's getting up there in age and he keeps getting hurt. That's what happens with these players as they age. They start breaking down more and more. I don't foresee that being different this year. If you pick Kevin Durant, health is never guaranteed, but you can minimize your chances by targeting players who don't miss lots of time. So Kevin Durant at an average pick of 11.5. I really like him in this range. Something else to keep in mind, though, they did just add Bradley Beal. So that could help his efficiency, but it might hurt his volume production. They're still going to go through Kevin Durant. There's no doubt about it. Kevin Durant's game fits in like a puzzle piece almost anywhere because of his ability to just do everything. But there are some question marks. Proceed with caution. LaMelo Ball, at an average pick of 12.6, has a lot of upside to help your team. Last year, in the limited time he played, averaged 23.3 points, 6.4 rebounds, 8.4 assists, 4 three-pointers made. Elite production there, 1.3 steals, 0.3 blocks, 3.6 turnovers. The field goal percentage, 41%. That's why Steph Curry's so special. Even Damian Lillard, that field goal percentage at 41%, that's a tough pill to swallow. Free throw percentage, 83%. Really solid. With LaMelo Ball, you're really banking on his upside and the fact that he could take a big leap and get those numbers closer to 30, 8, and 10. If he managed to do that, you're talking about top 2, 3 fantasy contributor. He did deal with some injuries last year, so if you draft him, grab him knowing that there is some injury risk. But I've said that multiple times already. Injuries are just part of the game. With the amount he can contribute to your team, with youth on his side, he's worth the gamble. So speaking of injury liabilities, the next player I have on the list is Anthony Davis. When healthy, contributes in a ton of categories that I really value. What did he do last season? He averaged 26 points per game, 12.5 rebounds, 2.6 assists, 0.3 three-pointers made, so 1.1 steals. I love that. 2 blocks per game. For a guy getting you 26 points, 12 rebounds, I love the 2 blocks. I love the steal per game. Only getting you 2.2 turnovers per game. I love that. He fits well in a punt assist build. Field goal percentage, 56%. And the free throw percentage, 78%. He's getting me 2 blocks. 78% free throw percentage for a guy getting me 2 blocks. I love that combination. If he ever were to hit more threes, this is another guy that has best in the league potential. But because of injury risk and being a liability in that regard, he falls down draft board. So if you pick him, just know he's probably going to leave half the games he plays and at some point to go to the locker room. A lot of times he powers through and comes back out and plays, but I've never seen someone get injured more than Anthony Davis. His production makes him a decent target around the beginning of the second round. But again, keep in mind, there are huge red flags when it comes to his health. Donovan Mitchell is a player I am a huge fan of. He took a big leap once he was traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Last year, averaged 28.3 points, 4.3 rebounds, 4.4 assists, 3.6 three-pointers made, 1.5 steals, which is, to me, elite territory, 0.4 blocks, 2.6 turnovers, 48% from the field when he's getting you almost 4 three-pointers per game. That 86% free throw. You're adding a volume scorer who contributes in almost every single category, isn't really hurting you in any categories. I think he's a bit underrated at an average pick of 18, so I have him pretty high on my list. The other thing I like about Donovan Mitchell, he did not agree on an extension, so I think he has something to prove this season. He wants to get paid, he wants to get maxed out, so we may see his best season yet, because nothing motivates these guys more. And if you haven't yet, please treat this video like a dime piece and smash it by hitting that like button. Smash that like button as much as you want. That makes me incredibly happy. You know what else will make me happy? If you check out the brand new draft guide collaboration between XL and myself, Barack Lesnar. This draft guide is jam-packed with analysis, and now this guide's only $9.99. Not only do you get to support what I'm doing here at Barack Lesnar Hoops, but you are getting some of the best information out there. If you do auction drafts, I give you a full breakdown of how you need to target your auction draft to build an amazing monster team. That's just one of the perks of this guide. So for $9.99, support your guy. I hope you get it. There's a link in the description for it. The next guy on my list is Kyrie Irving. Another guy that comes with major flags as far as health and sometimes behavior. I'm a huge fan of the guy, both personally and on the court. I know a lot of people don't say that, but I am. He's projected to be in the top 12, and his production justifies it. Last season, he averaged 27 points per game, 5.1 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 3.1 three-pointers made, 1.1 steals, 0.8 blocks, 2.1 turnovers, 49% from the field goal line. free throw percentage at 90%. I don't think free throw percentage at 90%. This is elite production across the board. He's not hurting you in any area, even 0.8 blocks from a guy getting you 3.1 three-pointers made. He's shooting 49% from the field. He's shooting 90% from the free throw line. The issue is he misses a lot of time with injuries. When he's available, he's one of the best guards in the NBA, would probably be a top 6-7 pick. But there's a lot of headaches that come attached with Kyrie Irving. Some people choose to just not draft him. Other people choose to take on that headache because his production is so good when he is available and has his head. I'm also a big fan of the pairing between him and Luka Doncic. I think they complement each other really well. And there's not a whole lot of talent on that team outside of Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. So there'll be a lot of usage. They're going to find each other open shots. I like his chances to produce a lot next season. But again, if you want to avoid the headache, you might want to target some other guys on this list. The next guy on my list, I have a huge bias for, huge fan of this guy. Was pretty healthy last season. He did miss like the first month and a half, but once he came back, he was relatively healthy. Last season, Jaren Jackson Jr. averaged 18.6 points, 6.8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1.6 threes, 1 steal per game, 3 blocks per game, only 1.7 turnovers, 50% from the field, 78% from the free throw line. 1.6 threes is a decent amount. He's getting me 3 blocks per game. That is elite territory. He's getting me a block per game, which I really like. That's 4 stocks combined. He's barely hurting your turnovers. He's shooting efficiently. And at 78% free throw, when he's getting me 3 blocks per game, I told you I love that combination of categories. And so I have him pretty high on my draft board. You may disagree with this pickup. I'm interested to hear your comments. Leave them below and give me your thoughts. Did I place them too high, just right, or too low? Let me know. The next guy on my list is Mikal Bridges. Got traded to the Brooklyn Nets last season in that Kevin Durant trade. And he broke out, became a 20-plus point per game scorer who did so with great efficiency, very high free throw percentage, decent steals numbers, 0.7 blocks, but we might get less defensive numbers and higher scoring production, which I kind of valued when I got a lot of steals and blocks from him. Regardless, the opportunity is there for him to have a breakout and become a superstar in the NBA. I remember 3 or 4 years ago when I said I could see a Kawhi-like trajectory from him being a defensive role player to being a bona fide superstar, and I think we're seeing that breakout right before our eye. Last season only got you 1.5 turnovers, shot 46% from the field, and 89% from the free throw line. So really nice production. The upside is there for him to have a great season. So around this range, I'd probably pick Jaren Jackson Jr. first, but depending on my build, Mikal Bridges makes a lot of sense. Next on my list is Trae Young. Trae Young can score amazingly well, can get you three-pointers, can get you a sprinkle of steals, doesn't get you any blocks, does get you over 4 turnovers. Last season, we saw his field goal percentage at 43%, which really hurts when it's a volume score. 88% from the free throw line is really nice. If he were more efficient as far as the field goal percentage and got his turnovers lower, this is a guy that would go in the top 10. There were some question marks last year, but after the Hawks brought in a new coach, it seems like they fit in together much better. Somebody that helped develop Donovan Mitchell. Hopefully Trae Young can continue in a similar trajectory, get his efficiency up, and if he does, this is a guy that has the opportunity to produce at a top 15 level. If he keeps the efficiency low though, continues getting turnovers and 2.1 threes, he should be getting over 3 per game. Hopefully we do see that happen. So I'm going to place Trae Young here because his volume numbers are nothing to scoff at, and he has a lot of upside, but he does come with some risks. Domantas Sabonis is one of those players I'm a bit conflicted on because the areas in which he helps you a lot. He's like a Nikola Jokic light in his ability to get you a lot of assists from the center position. Last season averaged 19.1 points, 12.3 rebounds, 7.3 assists, 0.4 threes, 0.8 steals, only half a block, 2.9 turnovers, 61% from field goal, free throw percentage at 74%. So the free throw percentage is something that bothers me. He's hurting you there. He's getting you almost 3 turnovers per game. That does come with the 7.3 assists, so we're not going to count the turnovers. We won't hold that against him, right? But only 0.4 three-pointers made, not getting you a block per game, from a big man only getting you half a block per game, and his free throw percentage is at 74%. And if I told you I value guys that get me blocks on a high free throw percentage, Domantas Sabonis is the exact opposite. Still though, given the fact that he's a 20-point per game scorer, he's still a unicorn for his ability to get you a high number of assists from the center position. It'll just be very difficult to build a fully cohesive team with the areas in which he's hurting you. And so I would say draft him with caution. The areas in which he hurts you is why he's projected to be in the top 43, according to Yahoo. At 19, I have Anthony Edwards, who Yahoo has projected to be in the top 7, and he has an average pick of 14.3. So I really like Anthony Edwards, and you might want to pick him up before I have him ranked. The thing is, I don't like his low free throw percentage. I want to see an improvement there, and I'm not a big fan of the 3.3 turnovers per game. What am I a fan of, though? Heavy score, 24.6 points last season, 2.7 three-pointers made. He got you 46%, but along with 2.7 threes, I like that. The upside is there. He's still a young player. Hopefully, they have Karl Anthony Towns healthy for the majority of the season. I think that could help his efficiency, and I think that could help him in different ways. I think average pick of 14.3 is around the area where you want to start targeting him. But I would probably pick some of these other guys that I've listed before him. Again, the 75% free throw, the 45% field goal. I value highly efficient players, and I haven't seen that from them quite yet. Maybe this is the season we see that leap. Usually it's not till later in their career that players start really becoming efficient once the game slows down for them. We saw him play great for Team USA this summer, and that experience may translate into the regular season. The next guy on this list is a potent scorer, big name player, but there's a lot of mouths to feed on this team. So let's break down why you might not want to draft him where he's being drafted. Devin Booker's going at an average pick of about 15.8, so around the 16 range. He can score with the best of them. Last season, averaged 27.8 points, 4.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 2 3-pointers made per game. Only 1 steal, 0.3 blocks, 2.7 turnovers, 49% from field goal, 85% from the free throw line. So that's really strong production from him. But keep in mind, the Suns now have Kevin Durant. The Suns have Bradley Beal. Those are heavy usage players that also take a lot of shots. He's not getting me a lot of steals, and he's only getting 2.1 three-pointers made. I think that's a little low given how good of a shooter he is. I would want to see him closer to 3. I think that's that elite level. I don't like the lack of steals. I want to see more steals from him. The efficiency is great. The volume scoring is great, and that makes him a special player. But I like some of these other guys around this range, so I think at an average pick of 15.8, I think that's a little too high for him. I like him closer to this range where I have him, right around 20. Desmond Bane is a guy that I think has the potential to have a better season than Devin Booker. So he averaged 21.5 points, 5 rebounds, 4.4 assists, 2.9 three-pointers made, 1 steal per game, 0.4 blocks, only 2.2 turnovers, along with 47% from the field, 88% from free throws. So you're getting less points with him. The rebounds and assists are within range. You're getting more threes, similar number of steals, similar number of blocks. Not as efficient, but there are less mouths to feed on this Memphis Grizzlies team. And Ja Morant suspended for about 25 games. So does it make sense to pick Devin Booker at 15 when you can have Desmond Bane around 24? I think Desmond Bane makes a lot of sense a little bit later rather than picking Devin Booker at 15, 16 where he's going right now. He's actually projected to end the season higher than Devin Booker. He's projected to go in the top 13. And with Devin Booker, he's projected to be 21. And I drafted him at 20. I think the math is mathing. Fred Van Vliet. He is now with the Houston Rockets. And I like his upside on this new team. Averaged 19.3 points, 4.1 rebounds, 7.2 assists, 3 three-pointers made, 1.8 steals, 0.6 blocks, which is really high for a point guard. Only 2 turnovers per game when he's getting you 7.2 assists. Field goal percentage, that's kind of the caveat with this guy. Only scored 39% from the field, which is awful. But he got you 89%, almost 90% free throw. 7.2 assists to only 2 turnovers, 3 three-pointers, elite free throw percentage, 0.6 blocks from an undersized point guard. I will stomach that poor field goal percentage. If I have to punt one of the percentages, I'd rather punt field goal percentage. And I think if you draft correctly and you put them together with maybe someone like Nikola Jokic, I love the pairing of those two because Nikola Jokic is going to offset the low field goal percentage. The assists are going to combine well together. The threes will combine well together. He's getting you 1.8 steals. The fact he's getting you 0.6 blocks kind of offsets the fact that Nikola Jokic is not great there. He's helping your turnovers because he's not getting you a ton with the 7.2 assists. The free throw percentage meshes well, and Jokic is so efficient that you can stomach this poor field goal percentage. So if you grab Jokic, I think it makes a lot of sense to target Fred VanVleet with your second round pick. The next guy we're going to discuss is a guy I'm a huge fan of, and in the past used to go in the top 5, top 10 at worst. But because he missed a large part of the season last year and we saw a drop in his scoring, he slid down draft boards and you could get him, which is a little crazy given the upside that he has and the fact that Karl-Anthony Towns last season averaged 20.8 points, 8.1 rebounds, 4.8 assists, which is great from a big man, 2.1 threes, great from a big man as well, 0.7 steals, only 0.6 blocks. That's really low by Karl-Anthony Towns standards. I expect him to do better in that regard this season. 3 turnovers, not amazing, but the guy's getting you 4.8 assists, which I really value from a big man. 49% from the field, and he's getting you 87% from the free throw line. He's a huge sleeper this season. He was part of my sleeper videos. If you haven't seen that, that's out, and you should check it out because it's going to get you just right. This is a guy I think pairs really well with someone like Joel Embiid. He pairs well with Nikola Jokic because he's getting you decent assists. He's helping your efficiency. He's helping your free throw percentage. He contributes in a lot of areas and helpful to your fantasy basketball team. He's one of the most high upside centers you're going to be able to grab around this range. He's not a 35-year-old player. He's still in his late 20s, prime of his career, and I expect a huge bounce back season from him. So if he's available to you around the early second round, Karl-Anthony Towns is your guy. The next guy is another player that in the past you needed to draft with a top 2 to 3 pick. He's fallen significantly this year, not so much for his production, but because of some trade demands he has made. And everyone knows when this guy's disgruntled, he shows up overweight and doesn't give all his effort. And I think there's some fear that may happen. Will it? That remains to be seen. James Harden, average pick of 27.3. Yahoo has him projected to be in the top 37. So last year we saw a drop in his scoring per game. He only averaged 21 points per game. This is a guy when he was in Houston was averaging 35, 37 points per game. But he led the league in assists with 10.7. He got you over 6 rebounds, 2.8 threes, almost 3 per game. Got you 1.2 steals. Got you half a block for a point guard eligible player. He got you 3.4 turnovers, which is pretty controlled given the fact that he got you 10.7 assists. I love that assist to turnover ratio. Field goal percentage at 44%. That's decent given the scoring he gives you, the amount of threes he's getting you, and he's an elite free throw shooter shooting 86%, and he draws a lot of free throws as well. So if he's drawing free throws and he's hitting free throws, he's going to help your team out a lot. He's another guy I think pairs really well with Nikola Jokic, and in the past it was really difficult to have both on the same team because they both were picked around the same range. But with this fall off that James Harden has had, you have the possibility of pairing Nikola Jokic, James Harden, Karl-Anthony Towns. Those were 3 guys that you needed to pick in the top 5 just 2 or 3 seasons ago. If they all pay off, your team is going to be elite and hard to beat. I think that's worth the potential risks that become involved when you're targeting James Harden. But again, you're picking him around 27. I have him as 24 on my top 25. The last guy on my list is DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray last season averaged 20.5 points, 5.3 rebounds, 6.1 assists, 1.8 threes, 1.5 blocks, 1.5 steals and 0.3 blocks, 2.2 turnovers per game, 46% from the field, 83% from the free throw line. This used to be a guy that hurt your free throw percentage, and now he's shooting 83%. Love to see that. 1.8 threes, 1.5 steals, and two categories I value a lot. He's scoring for me. He's getting me assists. The turnovers are controlled. 2.2 turnovers to 6.1 assists. I love that combination. Yahoo has him projected to be in the top 16, and he's going at an average pick of 32.7. I think DeJounte Murray is a bit of a sleeper, and I have him as number 25 on my... Do you agree with my list? Who did I have too high? Who did I have too low? Who did I neglect to mention that you think I should have in the top 25? I'm very curious. If you've made it so far, thank you so much for hanging around, sticking with us. I hope you're going to dominate your draft. If you want to catch a cool video, click it, watch it. It's going to help you dominate your competition this season. Smash that like button if you haven't, subscribe if you haven't, and click that bell notification. Even if you're not a fan of my content, I appreciate you watching. Until next time, this is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops.